This week on Out of Chicago, it's all about street photography, and we have an interview with Marie Lane Yeo. Oh, welcome to Out of Chicago. I'm your host, Chris Smith, and this is the show where we talk about Chicago photography and urban photography of all kinds. And this week, we'll be talking with Marie Lane Yeo. She's one of my favorite street photographers. She was one of the best presenters at the Out of Chicago conference, and you can learn a lot from her interview today. Before we get to the interview, though, I want to talk a little bit about what's coming up. We have a tour with Wendy Bright. Wendy is going to be giving a tour of the University of Chicago. Now, she gives tours all the time. That's what she's known for. But this is going to be tailored just for photographers, and it is next weekend. It's August 23rd. So if you haven't signed up already, there are still a few spots left. And it's going to be Saturday evening. She's going to be going to all the best places at the University of Chicago. And the thing about the University of Chicago is that it's a wonderful campus just to walk around, but there's so many awesome places inside that you'd never know are there unless you're with a guide, unless you're with someone that knows what they're doing. So join Wendy next week, sign up. There'll be a link in the show notes, and that won't be street photography, but it's going to be awesome photography. So this week we're talking with Marie Lane Yeo. You can follow her blog at marielaneyeo.com and follow her on Facebook and Google Plus and see all of her amazing images. We talk in here that she's going off to Japan. Well, I actually recorded this interview a week or two ago, and she has been in Japan and she has been getting some great images. Look for the one with the woman with the see-through umbrella. That one is by far my favorite. So she's got some great shots of Japan and the people there. You're going to love the interview. And if everything goes right, you are going to be super inspired to get out and do some street photography of your own. And you're going to find out that Chicago is a great place to do it. So here we go, our interview with Marie Lane Yeo. I'm here with Marie Lane Yeo, and she was one of our presenters at the Out of Chicago conference. She is a street photographer from Chicago. She's originally from Paris and living in Chicago, but she's moving to London, and we're so sad. But we're going to talk about street photography today. It's going to be amazing. Marie's one of my favorites. And welcome, Marie. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I'm very happy to talk to you today.
Yeah, we're going to have so much fun. Yeah, you're our second, I just thought of this right now, you're our second French street photographer on the Out of Chicago podcast, because we had Valerie Jardin, and now you. So this is great. Yeah, I don't know what it is. You guys are just all amazing. I don't know what to say. So tell us a little bit. All those things are true, right? You've been in Chicago for how long now?
For 5 years.
For 5 years. But you're moving just next week?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stay with Japan first.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's going to be awesome. Are you going to be doing street photography in Japan?
Absolutely. So the whole point is to go for street photography.
Oh, that's why you're going?
Well, yes. My husband probably for another reason, but...
I was going to say that. Did you tell your husband that?
That doesn't matter.
Oh, so what cities will you be going to?
So to Tokyo, Kyoto, and some other cities, but mostly in Tokyo, really.
Yeah.
Like with 10 days or so to do, like, street photography.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see your photos. That's going to be great. So you've been in Chicago, you presented at the conference, you were like everybody's favorite. I don't know what it is. Maybe, I don't know, they love you the way that I love you. It's great. So I don't know what it is, but you're amazing. Tell us a little bit about your background, because you've only been shooting for a couple of years, right?
This is correct. I really started late. I mean, I started doing photography 5 years ago, so travel photography, it was no big deal. I was taking my camera with me whenever I was traveling in another city. But then in Chicago, I just had a revelation. Like, it was a city I had to be shooting. So I started shooting all the time, and that became very serious.
Yeah, and so you've been doing street photography only a couple of years, is that right?
It's correct.
Yeah, and now you've become one of the best in the world? you're really good. You've gotten a lot of attention around the world as being an amazing street photographer. Actually, let's talk a little bit about Chicago. You know, how do you see, where does Chicago fit in amongst all the big cities that you've maybe shot in? Or how do you see Chicago as a city for street photography?
Well, I think Chicago is pretty amazing for street photography. You guys are very lucky. So, to me, each time I actually shot a city, it has to be like after I establish a sort of relationship with it. And each city has a different vibe and it has a different soul. So that relationship that I establish really makes me want to shoot the city in a particular, specific way. And Chicago, what I really love about it, is the architecture and the fact that you can really get those amazing shots where humans are almost lost within that grandiose and very interesting architecture of another time. And it's like, it's as if the city was like becoming silent and as if there was some whisper going on. So I really like that.
Yes, and I'd say your photos really bring that out. And those are my favorites, the ones with the architecture, of course, and the people mixed in. I love those. I think it's interesting, like when Valerie was here and she was doing her her workshop, she kept saying, I want to see areas that are like grittier in that. Like New York City was great. She had just come from New York City and that was perfect for it. But maybe Chicago's not the best for the gritty, but for the types of stuff that you do, it's perfect. But maybe that's because you've really developed yourself here in Chicago, that you're going for those real elegant type of shots and that you're looking. You kept saying, I'd love to see like a really elegant looking person or whatever. Is that right? Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think my photography will need to change and adapt when I move to London for sure. I think the city has a lot to do and has influenced my vision and the way I've done photography so far. Clearly, it's like a big dream. So everything can be beautiful in a way, but doesn't mean that they can't be emotional either. So I don't know. I don't think I would shoot New York in the same way as I shoot Chicago, but I wouldn't necessarily go for the gritty. I think, you know, every time, each person has its own style, so.
Yeah, and that's what makes street photography so special, too, is that a lot of people that shoot architecture, shoot buildings, they end up with the same shots as a lot of other people, but you have your own style, and other street photographers have their own style, and really makes a lot of street photographers unique from other photographers.
Yes, and this is what I'm trying to achieve as well. I don't just want to reproduce what has been done before. Like, nobody wants that, really.
Right.
And I don't even know if I'm a street photographer or, you know, if I belong to any defined genre. It's really difficult to say. I just do candid photography in the streets because that's what I'm good at. And what I like or what I don't like is really personal to me. It's my own definition of things.
Mm-hmm. But you're right that you are trying to do something that's different than everybody else. And one interesting thing, I should have said this. Last night we went out, you and I were shooting for a few hours, and you really helped me out. Thank you very much. That was great. And I got to see, I mean, there's one thing to read someone's blog and look through their photos and see how they shoot, but to actually get to follow you around and see you shoot, that was really special. So last night when we were out shooting, it was really neat to see you going around shooting and how you do it. But it was also cool that once you got that shot, like the people were gone, the moment was gone. And that's what makes street photography, the way that you do it, at least totally different than photography that I do, where it's a building. Anyone could go back and shoot that at any time. But what you're getting is a unique moment that would never happen again.
Yeah, this is, I think, what really I find exciting in street photography. This is the idea that you capture something that will not be anywhere else again. So it's like one moment in time, and I know that I was lucky enough to be capturing that moment.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, I don't enjoy street photography. I don't even enjoy looking at it sometimes. I love yours, and I love other people's, but for the most part, I'd say 90% of it, I just don't enjoy. It's I don't know what it is. It just feels like it's a shot of someone making a weird look on the on their face. What is it that you think that really separates people that are very special with their street photography from people that, you know, it's just kind of the same as everybody else?
I think it is an understanding of what actually makes a story. And
that's what we want to talk about today, because that was your presentation at the conference, correct?
It is exact, absolutely.
So what was the name of your presentation? Then tell us a little bit about this whole idea.
Okay. So my presentation was called Creating Impact, the Fundamentals of Storytelling in Street Photography. And the whole idea is that I see a lot of street photography like on social media, and a lot of people are trying. It's a popular type of photography, much more than it used to be. But yeah, it's so many shots, you know, completely lack a story, lack a subject, lack anything mysterious or meaningful in it. And so what I was trying to teach with this presentation was the basic of understanding what can really help you create impact with your image. What does creating a story means? How do we know when to take a picture? How can we improve our composition and being more deliberate about how we shoot people, architecture, etc., whatever subjects you want to be shooting, to create that that additional meaning to it.
And you've taken all of this information and put it into an ebook as well, right?
Yes.
And it's pretty expensive?
It's not. It's actually free to download.
That's right.
On my website.
And we will put a link to that on your website on the show notes for this show. And the name of the ebook is basically the same as the conference title, the presentation. Is that right?
It's the same.
Yeah, so I've heard a lot of positive comments, and I love the book. And well, if you haven't read it, you really need to go do it. Just going out there, well, just reading that book, and for me, going out and shooting with you last night, it's really inspired me. I keep wanting to try and do street photography. Every time I do it, the only problem is all my pictures are terrible. But other than that, I really enjoy doing it. But I don't know, I'm just not good at it. But you know, maybe that's everyone's biggest thing, is that fear of getting out there and shooting people. And if you were with us last night, you'd be amazed at what Marie was doing, that we would just stop at a street corner and she would just, like, from all angles, walk around like a party of people that were there. And for some reason, it was like they wouldn't even notice she was there. And she just took like 5 pictures, like just from every angle of them, and then just kept going. And anyone we would walk by that was somewhat interesting looking, she'd grab a couple of shots. It was really crazy. So what are your biggest tips for giving for people to kind of get over that fear of shooting people out on the street?
Well, I think it comes with understanding that nothing really bad can happen to you in most part of the world. And the worst that you can get is to receive some bad look or someone getting a little angry or upset at you. But honestly, it really happens very, very rarely. And most of the time, people are just thinking about something else. They just ignore you. They just have something else to think about. So if you find just, you know, upsetting people from time to time, there's really nothing bad that can happen to you, and you can just go and try. And you see that after trying a few times, nothing's happened. You just move on. You smile. Everything is fine. And so you will be becoming more confident over time.
Wow. And then how about, like I was saying last night, I just don't want to like be a part of an interaction that's not like a really positive interaction where people are like, what's going on here? This is crazy. How about some tips for just being a little bit more discreet? I know I picked up a couple of things from you, but what would you say? What are your tips for being able to shoot and maybe people don't even know that you're shooting?
So, well, you can shoot, first of all, at a distance. If you don't want to get close to people, you don't need to, then you won't be disrupting them. So you can have them like, in wide angle shots, like within the architecture, etc. They won't even see you shoot. You won't disturb them. Everything is fine. If you shoot closer to them, then you can actually pretend that you're shooting something else, like the building behind them. And so if they look at you weirdly, like, are you taking my picture? You say, no, I was taking the building over there, or something like that.
Yeah, and even when people would look at you, you would then be staring at the building. And they'd be like, oh, okay, just a tourist taking a photo of the building. I'm sorry I got in the way of your photo. But that was the photo you were going for, right? It was the person.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's so many people shooting all of the streets nowadays that you can really pretend that you're just one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And another one that I got that I don't think I would have picked up just from like reading a book or something was, and I don't know if I can describe this very well, but sometimes when you would shoot and we were just walking and someone would be walking toward us, and of course they're walking not quite straight at us because we're going to pass each other, you would still shoot directly straight down the street. So that other person wouldn't feel that you were aiming the camera at them. It was more that you were shooting down the street. But because you've got, you know, not a wide angle, but, you know, not a telephoto lens, it still captured them like off to the left side of your frame. And so I went back and I looked at a lot of your images and I'm like, oh my goodness, I get it now. These people are off to the left of the frame, but you're not actually turning your camera toward them. You're actually kind of looking straight down the street, yet they're still in the frame. And to me, that was a big revelation that was a good way to do that. And those people are like, oh, they weren't shooting me. No big deal.
Yes, I think it works also, like keeping it straight. But also from a composition perspective, it makes sense too. You don't really want to be, you still want to have the street in perspective. It can be interesting to have those angles and those like lines. Whereas if you actually change your angle to be in front of them, not only you're facing them, but you may also like completely lose your frame and your composition. So yeah. I absolutely like people exiting my frames next to me.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to talk about that just in general, that I was real surprised. I mean, as someone that's tried to do better at like wildlife photography and things like that, the tip is always leave some room in front of the animal or whatever. If they're running through the frame, leave some room. If they're on the right side and moving to the left, leave room on the left side so that it looks like they've got something to run into. And you said directly to me that you try and do the opposite. You'd rather have someone look like they're leaving the frame. What's the point of that?
Well, before someone told me it was actually against the rules of composition, I thought that it was fantastic to have people leave out the frame because you do. That really takes out the focus from the people to the rest of the picture. And to me, the rest of the city, the rest of the picture goes along with the whole story. You know, it's really the intersection of both. So when they leave the frame, I de-emphasize them, and at the same time, I add more mystery as to, you know, where they're going, perhaps, and where they've been coming from. It's less really about them, and it's more about the whole story around the city. So,
and I think that's why I love your photography so much, is that it's not just the people. You have some, but you're not like some people where you just come up and stick the camera in someone's face and it's just about their face. You have some like that, but some people, that's all they do. But so many of your photos are how the people interact with the city around them. Can you give any other tips for people trying to do that? Because that's what I want to do. I want to shoot like the architecture, but I want to have people in it as well.
So first of all, it works better if you are capable of having very few people, like one or few person within the architecture, so that you actually avoid distraction. It would be terrible to have like a crowd or a group of people in front of a building and then think that it's a photograph, because obviously you will probably have no story going on. On the contrary, if you can have one person, so maybe because it's dark, maybe because it's cold, maybe because it's a very specific time of the day, think about it. But if you can isolate one person within the architecture, your photograph will be just as stronger for that.
Yeah, and that's not an easy thing to do. That's something you have to work at. It's hard to get a good background, and it's hard to get just one person, right? I mean, that was what we kept working on. And they were like, they look interesting while they're in a group of uninteresting people, or it just looks like a crowd. And you said something like, it just looks like a picture that anyone could take. But when you isolate one person and they have an interesting look to them, that's going to make a better photo, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I also think that you need to be, perhaps if you really want to be shooting architecture with people, you need to be quite patient. You need to recognize that there are some places where there could be opportunities, but sometimes, you know, you have to wait for the right moment. You have to wait for the right person to go by. And it may just be also an attitude, a movement, or something that would really make the photo compared to just someone being there, which may be boring.
And you said you do that sometimes where you'll stick around for a little while, but for the most part, you said you're moving the whole time. You're bopping from one place to another, and once you've been there, then you're on to the next one. Is that usually what you'll do?
Yes, but I'm not a very patient person. This is one of my weaknesses in street photography. I just move around and I move from one opportunity to another, and I hope that there's something going to be interesting further away.
Yeah, and I think, I'm back to, I guess, the architecture thing. One of the things that makes your photos so wonderful is just the atmosphere behind them, whether it's the architecture or just the lighting or whatever. You also do a lot of shooting at night, right? So how... What are the difficult parts about shooting at night? What do you do differently when you're shooting at night, maybe in terms of your camera settings or your composition or anything?
Yes, night photography can be really rewarding, but it's difficult because there is little light. And the problem with light can be quite annoying for a street photographer. So what I would suggest to do is to step up as much as possible so you get the highest aperture you can get, so that at least you will avoid too much blurry pictures, right? Mm-hmm. And secondly, boost your ISO as well. It doesn't matter if it's grainy. Again, if you have like a lot of blurriness, it may not be exactly what you want. So let's provide some light to the sensor. And of course, go near the sources of light. It can actually provide very interesting effects when you have artificial light coming on the face of people, illuminating only part of the image, etc. Otherwise, just go out and shoot. That's my
Yeah, once you kind of got your settings put down, then you don't worry so much about it at night. You just keep shooting. And you said that with the grain that you might get, the noise you might get at a high ISO, if you really don't like it, you can go to black and white, and it really is going to look just fine. It all adds to that atmosphere of the shot. You agree?
I totally agree. I think grain is totally fine. Black and white.
Right. So, all right, the last thing you said about blurry photos, and I know that you have a new camera. And one of the reasons you have your new camera, or one of the things you were talking about it, tell us about your new camera, first of all. What'd you get?
Okay. 2 months ago, I bought a Leica M240. So I really wanted to go full frame, and I wanted to move away from the big DSLR that I used to have, mm-hmm. that I still love, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I went for a rangefinder, and I decided to go for Leica because they're one of the only ones to have full frame camera.
Oh, of course, yeah. And yeah, I mean, Leica, it's okay, sure. Yeah, why not? But you also said to me, and it made me laugh, is that, of course, the lens is manual focus. So you're like, well, I've been learning to do the manual focus and the hyperfocal distance and all that. But the reason you wanted the manual focus was that everything had just gotten too easy at that point. Is that right? Are you kidding? Come on. Like, I just needed a challenge.
Right. I wanted a little more challenge. I was actually tired of the autofocus, like always focusing on the same stuff. No, I really love manual focus, in fact. It's just like difficult at night when
you have to have that
for mistake.
Right. But then it's a real challenge. Then you should like it even more.
Yes. Well, then you get a good picture, you're even happier.
Yes. And you got a couple last night where it just blew me away. The way that, like, we would just walk past those people on the bridge and they're like, oh, look what I got. And it was the most amazing portrait of that woman that was standing on the bridge. And I just couldn't believe, if I had seen that photo, I would have thought that you spent all this time to set her up and to get her in the exact right spot. And I was like trying to not run into people, and you'd taken a photo that was better than any photo I'd probably ever taken while I was doing that. I couldn't believe it. So it was impressive. So this girl's good. Maybe one other thing. Tell us about a couple of your photos that you really like. What are some of your favorite photos that you've taken, and maybe a story behind them? Like, I was looking through your blog, and the one that was on there recently was the two people just off to the side. You said they was in Brazil? Is that right?
Yes.
What was the story behind that photo?
All right. So that particular photo was taken in Brazil when I was visiting a town, which is actually very lovely. And when I was going actually behind a big church, there was this couple hiding and, you know, kissing, etc. Like, obviously, teenagers, like, hiding from their family. And so I took that wide-angle shot of them, and behind you had, like, the, well, you have the lovely town in itself. And they never saw me. They were just so busy being one with another.
Of course. But just like all your other photos, like how much of the frame did they actually take up? It was a very, very small part of the frame. And then it was the whole village or whatever behind and the apartments there. But they were gorgeous. And that just made that a fantastic photo. Are there any other photos that that are kind of your favorites more than others? Maybe that's too hard of a question.
No, I have one that I really love. It's called Winter's Tale. And this is a photo of the bridge in front of the Merchandise Mart, in fact, at night. And you have a man walking with an umbrella and another man about to walk within the frame, in fact. And you have all those mysterious lights of the night, mm-hmm. as well as like the snow that is falling because it's in winter.
Right, and the way the light reflected off of that snow, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what kind of made it special too, because it really illuminated the snow. And then were they silhouettes in that photo, or am I thinking of a different one?
Sorry, what?
Were they silhouettes, the people, or not for that one? I can't remember.
Yeah, well, they are very dark because there was not a lot of light. But if you look closely, the guy with the umbrella is not only mysterious, but he's looking directly at the camera, which is even weird. Like a different story. And to me, it's like a real fairy tale. So what I really like about that picture is that it represents to me what Chicago can become if you just imagine it differently, not for what it is, but for what it could be. And that the whole city becomes like a magical place, mm-hmm. where stories happen, when winters just turn the whole city into a new world, and where those mysterious men at night can actually hide some secrets going on.
Yes, but I think what makes that even more interesting than, say, you know, you see a lot of these fantastical type photos that people make, and they do Photoshop and they tell a story of a city, but they add all this stuff to it. Like everything that was in your photo, that was really there. It's just a matter of how you look at it, right?
Oh, yes, and absolutely. And I think, to me, it's important. Not that I don't like other people's pictures, but I don't do that. I just take what I have and I just make it my own.
And you sure do. No, you have amazing photos. I am going to try and copy as many of them as I can, especially now that you're leaving Chicago. I will try and like totally copy all your photos. It'll be great because you can't come chase me down as easily. So thank you so much for being on the podcast, and we hope to see you soon. We hope you have fun in Japan. We hope that everything goes great in London. Should I say this? Are you going to come back next summer for the conference?
I will.
Yes, you are. I know you are. I don't know if I should have said that. Maybe I'll delete that out. I don't know. But I am so excited that you are going to come back next year. Your presentation was amazing. And I can't wait to see what else you might come up with from now until then. So thank you so much for coming on. You're wonderful. You're the best.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
All right.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Marie. Bye-bye. Now, maybe the most impressive thing about Marie, and that was a great interview, but maybe the most impressive thing is from talking to people and just the way that I feel about this is that she is so inspiring. She makes me want to get out, and she may possibly have changed everything about how I do my photography. I want to get out there, and I want to just do street photography now. And I never felt like that before. And talking to other people that heard her at the conference, they feel the exact same way, and they all want to get out there and try it. So it's amazing. Her photos are great, and she is just so inspiring. So that's Marie Lane Yeo. Make sure if you're not following her on Google+ and on Facebook that you do that. Just go to her site, marielaneyeo.com, and you'll find everything there. We'll have links in the show notes. So thank you, Marie. That was fantastic. And it's going to lead us into our pick of the week, which is really that I've been spending a lot of time working with my newer camera. That's that Olympus OMD EM10. And I have that along with the 17 millimeter 1.8 lens. And together, those two things are simply amazing. They are all you need to have a phenomenal street photography kit, and they're great for so many other things. I love it because it focuses so well. Marie talks about her manual focus, but I'm still going to stick with the autofocus. It focuses great even at night. It's a super fast lens, so that means that it's going to work at night. You don't have to have your ISO up too high. And I've really been shooting the thing in, this is something I really have never done before, ever. I'm shooting it in like program mode. I'm shooting it in P mode. And the point of that, along with shooting it in auto ISO, the point is that I'm not thinking at all about my camera settings. I'm spending all that time just trying to get the right composition and to catch the right moment. And it really has helped. You don't worry about any of that stuff. And it's great because the camera does a great job of figuring out exactly what exposure you're going to need. If you need to bump up the ISO, it will do it. You can set it in the camera to say, I have it set right now to say that the lowest shutter speed you'd go with is 1/125th of a second. You can change that to be whatever you want. And so it will continue to boost up the ISO until it gets to 1/125th of a second. So the OMD EM10, it's a tiny, tiny camera from Olympus. It's perfect. It's exactly what you need. If you're shooting sports or wildlife, sure, it's not as good as top-of-the-line Canon, Nikon, but for street photography, really, there's nothing out there. Maybe Marie's Leica, but there's not much out there that can beat it. And for the price, you can't do much better. I mean, for those two things together, you're looking at maybe, you know, I want to say that the camera is $650 and the lens, it's a nice lens, it's like $450. So those two things together, that's all you're going to need to have an amazing kit. So go for those, and I don't think you can go wrong. So that's our pick of the week, the Olympus OMD EM10. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Out of Chicago. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Marie for a wonderful interview. I hope that you feel inspired the way that I do. And hopefully you will be around next summer to see her when she comes back for the Out of Chicago Conference 2015. How exciting. So, all right, we will see you next time.